Today's episode is brought to you by my very first book that has just launched, Find Your Flow. Are you stuck in a perpetual cycle of repeating the same patterns over and over? Do you know there's more to life than just following what you should do? Do you feel foggy in your mind, uninspired by your life? Are you sick of being in survival mode? Let go of your addiction to friction and drama with this practical personal development guide to freeing yourself from limiting beliefs. Learn how to respond to life rather than react and move from surviving to thriving with me. I am so excited to release this book baby out into the world. Find Your Flow is available for pre-order now. Head to the show notes to grab your copy. Hi, I'm Emma Maidman and welcome to the Flow Lane podcast. This is the space to explore what it means to live a life in flow. Through honest conversations and storytelling, we'll explore how to move from friction to flow in all areas of life, covering things from health, well-being, spirituality, parenting, relationships, and so much more. This is a podcast to empower you to live fiercely from your heart so that you can create a powerfully aligned life in the flow lane. Let's flow to it. Hello and welcome to season 2 of the Flow Lane podcast. I'm your host, Emma Maidman. Thank you so much for joining me on this amazing podcast ride. I can't believe we're at season 2 already. So exciting. I am really excited to be kicking off season 2 with today's episode featuring the one and only Sheridan Joy Austin. I'm such a fan of Sheridan. She is a speaker, nutrition consultant, recipe creator, and writer. She's a qualified holistic nutritionist and certified gut and psychology syndrome practitioner, as well as being the founder of Foraged, the Mother's Blend, which has a serious cult following. If you don't know about it, you will soon. This episode is really juicy. We dive into a lot of stuff. As you can tell from her bio, Sheridan knows a lot of things. We talk a lot about gut health and the importance of using real food as opposed to just relying on synthetic supplements. We look at the difference between the two. She shares her journey of how she went from living on tomato sauce and tuna to now creating amazing health food products and living a beautiful, holistic life in flow. So sit back and relax and be prepared to have your mind blown by some pretty incredible knowledge that Sheridan has to share with us all. All right, welcome along to today's episode. I'm so excited to be joined by the beautiful Sheridan. This is actually the first time that we've met in person, I guess via Zoom. But we have a bunch of mutual friends, so we're basically besties. I love everything she posts online. I'm a big fan of Forage. So I'm really, really excited to have you here in the virtual room with me. Thanks for joining.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here too. What a pleasure. I love starting my day like this.
So good. So for anyone who's not a fangirl, can we just get a little bit of a brief overview as to who you are? I know your story, you shared a lot of it on social media of you went from partying and doing all those things that most of us have done to then kind of having that realization and shifting your health. And now it's your life, it's your job, it's what you do. So give us a little bit of insight into how old Sheridan became current Sheridan.
Yeah, it's so funny when I am with some old friends, which, I don't choose my friends based on their beliefs. So I still have obviously all my friends I used to, party with, eat whatever with, grew up in school with, So when they, talk to me about how I used to eat, it's really hilarious. It's definitely a joke. Because old Sheridan was, loved Red Rooster, loved McDonald's, was always the one that I always loved food though, in general. Yeah. I was a bit of a weirdo like that. In school, even up to year 12, I literally would carry around my lunchbox. thinking back, it's what planet was I on? I had all my favorite foods.
You were prepping for mum life when you had to have snacks on hand.
Exactly. I was the child. So, yeah. And still am. But yeah, so going forward, I love to be social, full stop. And I never want someone's lifestyle or their choices to impact their social life. So because that's a huge part of my life and who I am and who I want to be. And also it's so important with healing, you know, like it's just a part of being human, right? So I never want to take that aspect away from someone just because of what they eat. But so I loved partying and et cetera. So I had no idea what I wanted to do as a career. So I actually, at the end of school, went and did a gap year in Wales and had the best year of my life. And to put into perspective of how I ate over there, like I was on such a budget, city budget, and, you know, it's quite inspiring really, that because compared to how I am today, it's very like I don't think about what I'm purchasing. I'm just like, that looks yum. It's got good ingredients. Let's buy it. Don't look at the price. But back then I would literally steal, but like, you know, innocently and not like actually like a bad person because they were free. from their pubs, they would have like, you know, tomato sauce and stuff, like, you know,
they would
have tomato sauce, salt, pepper, takeaway cutlery or something like that. We would take the tomato sauce, like that's how much of a budget we were on. Then we would go back and make like canned tuna and tomato sauce pasta. That was like and then when my husband came and traveled, well, my now husband came and traveled with me over there, our meals would comprise of things like Ben and Jerry's, which was a huge lash out because it was quite expensive to us then, and like baguettes. So that's like what our meals would be.
Great. Love it. On a budget.
But going forward, so when I was living in Wales, I worked as a sports assistant teacher there. So I had to live with the children, eat what they were eating, live on the campus. So we were served up the meals, didn't really have a choice. And I saw the impact on my health over time, and I saw the impact on the children's health. And it was my first time of going, whoa, you know, food actually impacts you. However, from that point, it was from a weight perspective.
Yeah.
Because that's all we knew. That's all I knew. That's all modern media knows, right? Is, you know, if you eat wrong, you're going to put on weight. And that's the only thing that can happen from food, right? Yeah. Isn't that a weird concept that we...
So weird.
Yeah. But then it, to me, it was, that's it, you know? It didn't have anything to do with your digestion, nothing to do with anything else, your moods, your energy, et cetera. It was just, oh, I'm starting to put on weight. I've got to look at my food for the first time.
Right.
So that's when I first started to dabble into, oh, maybe I should eat something different. And then fast forward, I did my nutrition degree, and thank goodness I started to learn differently in that degree and seek advice from other gurus and do my own research and have a lot of aha moments of, what do you mean I can live without my sinus issues, my asthma, my chest infections? Like that I don't have to have a nap every single day. You know, my period issues, like severe period pain, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that's when I was like, whoa, like mind blown. Like I can do something different and expect a different result. I thought this was all just a part of me. So that's what take me down the avenue of self-learning and self-healing. So I actually was reflecting today, because I'm going to do a post today about just what I used to, a slither of like what I was taught by my lecturer at university. You know, she would sit there with a Diet Coke and lollies, and am I allowed to say that she was a little bit overweight herself? And it's just sitting there teaching us and telling me that I'm wrong and that we shouldn't be eating fats if you've got cardiovascular disease, or, you know, you have to calorie count and don't worry about the other ingredients. It's all about the fat, salt, sugar, carbohydrate content, and that's all that matters, you know. So like that's essentially what people are taught, what media is based on, what, you know, the whole medical system is based on. And that's why I didn't fast or go forward with my dietitian degree, because I didn't want to work in a hospital and be surrounded by this philosophy and teach patients this kind of stuff. It was just not within me. And I'm not going to pretend, you know. I think that's a big thing out there, is that people either feel too judged that they continue doing what they're doing, or they feel like they're ashamed, or that their intuition isn't right, or they just need to follow like a sheep. But yeah, if we all continue doing that, then the problem's not going to change. So I was like, well, no, I can't support that system. So that's what led me to here. And I guess from there, it's been a whole new journey, because obviously then it's the whole becoming a mum, and learning about the forcing of synthetic nutrients on women, which is so fine in some cases and understandable, but it's obviously just the types and empowering women. And I feel like we've lost any kind of sense of empowerment in culture, tradition, and nature and food. It's like we're convinced to believe, and it's being successfully, you know, coerced into thinking this way, that there's no other option other than synthetics and that kind of stuff, you know. So yeah, that opened this whole new passion of mine of wanting to have something different for myself, but also, you know, have something for women too. Yeah.
It's so wild to me to think that, you know, you went on this journey, you realized, okay, what I was eating was not serving my body. Like, you had that intrinsic knowing. So then you go and do what you think is the right thing by studying nutrition. And you're like, hang on a second, this is kind of just reinforcing the stuff that I knew was not great for me. But like, it's so mind blowing to me that it happens at that level. And then that like deep conditioning then runs through into, oh, well, my nutritionist told me that I should just eat like fat-free yogurt. Or, you know, I know myself very early on in my healing journey, recovering from parasites, I went and saw a dietitian and they put me on this like diet that I would literally never eat any of that stuff. Like, it was just, you know, just packaged crap, but it met the requirements of like, oh, I didn't have gluten in it, or it's lactose free, or, you know, whatever. And I remember thinking like, this, I'm going to this person thinking that a nutritionist would teach me about food, but they're just serving me or recommending to me a bunch of shit that I can find in the supermarket aisles. Like, none of this is real food. None of this is food as medicine. Why does that, like, are they just owned by Big Pharma? Like, where does this come from? Today's episode is brought to you by my very first book that has just launched, Find Your Flow. Are you stuck in a perpetual cycle of repeating the same patterns over and over? Do you know there's more to life than just following what you should do? Do you feel foggy in your mind, uninspired by your life? Are you sick of being in survival mode? Let go of your addiction to friction and drama with this practical personal development guide to freeing yourself from limiting beliefs. Learn how to respond to life rather than react, and move from surviving to thriving with me. I am so excited to release this book baby out into the world. Find Your Flow is available for pre-order now. Head to the show notes to grab your copy.
I think it's, well, it's such like a layer, isn't it? You know, there's so many layers to this. It filters down and all this, like you said, like conditioning. But yeah, it's what they control to go into the university degrees. Like, that's, and then they wholeheartedly believe that because that's what they were taught. But it's this, like, I don't really know. And it, I don't know why it takes so much to think differently. And also, I'd like to know, it's probably a slither of shame and guilt. And like, oh, I don't want to own up that I was wrong or something like that. But yeah, there's this belief that, you know, anti-inflammatory foods is not even a thing. Like, they just don't think foods cause inflammation. And, but even though the research is there, so it really is mind-boggling that they say a lot of the time, I'm research-based. Base things off the research, but it's not research based. Because if you want to talk about research, we can have a discussion.
So the average person who's just trying to navigate their regular life is kind of like, well, who do I believe? What do I do? And it's so interesting to me. You know, I come from teaching meditation and yoga and teaching people to connect back into their innate knowing. And it blows my mind that we're not like some people, it's not until they get to a moment of crisis that they start looking inwards or looking for other options. Like we're in these bodies and we know nothing about them. Like we don't understand our basic anatomy. We don't understand like basic, you know, foods or how they impact with our body. Like we're so disconnected.
I'd actually like to, talk on that actually. But there was something else. One thing and then another. Because when I went to the doctor, a similar story for you, and I knew I had candida, and I was thinking my first place is to go to a doctor. And they said, oh, if I had anything like a candida overgrowth, I'd be dead. I'd be in bedridden. That's what he said to me. And he was like, yeah, you know, you don't have that. It's not a thing. We can't test for that, blah, blah, blah. And like, I'm like, okay. So imagine, someone on the streets thinking, right, okay, so I've got to think that way. But the other thing I was going to mention about the, connecting with your body, it was when the other day I was telling Malachi, oh, he was doing a poo. And I was sitting there with him and I go, it wasn't the greatest poo. He usually has great poos, right? And we applaud him for it. We're like, oh my God, that was so great. And yeah, I go, oh, baby. Okay. So and I explained like how what you eat impacts your digestion, which impacts the type of poo you're going to have. And I said, if you don't have a great poo, Bubba, you've got to think about, you know, what food you're eating. I said, maybe you've eaten too many crackers lately. Like these are like rice crackers. And it was his birthday thing. And, you know, when there's anything cracker-like, he will just like hammer it.
My bub's the same.
Like nothing else. He just wants the crackers and like rice crackers, you know?
Yeah.
And then so I explained, he's looking at me like really like, oh, okay. And we know now that, you know, yes, he's just turned 3, but my gosh, he is so wise. Like they really listen, they really learn. And as I was telling him, I'm like, this is such important information for him. And I didn't know this until I was minimum 20 or something, or 19-ish, probably around the 19 age. I started to go, so
there's a correlation.
Like what we eat impacts your digestion. And if it's not normal, then something's wrong. Yeah. Like how weird is it that we haven't been taught this kind of stuff, even in school? Often I think like no one can really get by these days without having a slither of education or nutrition knowledge. And I know that sounds really extreme because obviously you can see other people for that, and which you can and you will need to because you need to learn it from someone. But we can't really get by because otherwise you just become another statistic.
Yeah.
And you're sucked into this vortex. And the media online, in the radio, on TV, blah, 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 is all based on this, I'd say, outdated thinking, right? Mm-hmm. And another example of that is I was being interviewed on the ABC radio. And at this point, this was years ago, I reckon, at least 5, 6, 7 years ago. And it was meant to be a continual thing, like an every fortnight type thing. And they cut off my conversation.
Right. Because just going off script.
Because I touched on things like cholesterol and how fats are important and how it's got very little to nothing to do with, you know, your cholesterol levels and how there's so much more to say heart disease than that and blah, 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 and supportive of not so much margarines and, you know, going to butter or ghee. And they didn't have me back on.
Who's very telling.
Yeah. And you know, heart of the matter, if anyone wanted to Google that, if it's still online, I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube, hopefully. It was years ago. On I think it was 60 Minutes or something like that, one of those, or what's the other one, Current Affair.
Current Affair, yeah.
Um, And it was about cholesterol. And yeah, so it was called Heart of the Matter, and how, you know, cholesterol was somewhat seen as like almost like a made up disease.
Mm.
And that got taken down. and yes, I get the possibly the innocence of the fear of people getting off their medication like statins, because it was a lot of talk about statins. But yeah, you know, they took it down. That's what they say their reason was, oh, we were too scared of people getting off their medication and stuff like that. But statins is one of the most prescribed drugs in, I'm pretty sure, the world, definitely Australia. So one of. And so you have to question that, right? Like,
yeah, I think so, with anything, you follow the money, right? Like my background was in PR. So I know exactly why they cut you off, because whoever was paying the bills was like, this is not what we're paying for. Get like, see you later. You know, it's for me, it was like studying PR was eye-opening to like how the world works. Because if it's not on message with whoever it is that's, you know, pulling the strings at that time, it's all advertising. It's just, you know, it comes across as we watch these programs thinking that they're investigative journalism, but it's just an ad. And that's sad, because it's people's health. And, you know, we watch these things and people trust these, you know, they're conditioned to trust these presenters and these people, that these celebrities that are, you know, created in this way that almost emotionally manipulate you into loving them and wanting to do what they do. And it's wild to me how much power we give away for our own health. Like even going and seeing a healthcare practitioner, I think there has to be a level of self-responsibility for you to go like, what they're saying to me, does that resonate? Is it challenging a belief system? And I'm just having trouble, like, you know, for a lot of people it's about fat. When you say like, go and eat butter, like women are like, no, that's going to make me fat. I've been conditioned to believe that. That's, I think, very different to someone telling you to do something and you just intrinsically knowing that it's not. And so, you know, you do a lot of work around like the gut brain connection. And I'd just be curious to know, like, you know, from your perspective, is there a way to explain that to people when you get that feeling and you just, your innate knowing, when someone says something to you and you're like, for example, you shared a post the other day about Nurofen and Panadol, which was ballsy. Like, I love those things that you share, because I understand the can of worms that you are opening, and you've got this much, you know, there's only so much you can say. There's only, you know, like, yeah, amazing that you do that. But I was kind of flicking through the comments, and it was the thing that stood out to me the most was so many people saying, I didn't feel intuitively right, but I did it anyway. My intuition was telling me not to, but like that was a really consistent theme. And it's like, is there something happening within people that's cutting off that connection, that we don't actually listen to the gut feeling?
It's really interesting, actually, whether it be, well, they say that your gut bacteria or your microbes, whether it be parasites and et cetera, they have little personalities themselves. They have the potential to hold your own emotions. They have, so whether they are literally in communication, but yeah, actual intuition, it's a drawing, isn't it? It's definitely a knowing, because, for example, they communicate with us, and whether it be our actual gut bugs or, well, yeah, we're 90% microbial. But when we are craving particular foods, if you think about it that way, that is messages going up, messages from our microbes to let us know what we need in order to function. Or it might be to manufacture other nutrients. It might be to ward off a virus. It might be to do whatever. So we're getting those little signals. So when it comes to something that's not right for us, yeah, it is like, it is this intuition of our intuition is very hard to describe, isn't it? It's not like
it's a direct experience thing.
Yeah. But yeah, our intuition knows that's not what the body actually needs. And I think obviously being a mum, you're almost that person, and you are making those decisions for those kiddies. But also think about the lack of intuition we get as we grow older. And this might be before we become this more mindful and healthful person, I guess, and trust this intuition. But we, as babies, the intuition is like no other, right? They know, like, I am unwell right now. My gut, my body needs time to heal. And so I'm not going to have that. I'm only going to be drawn to things that, you know, I feel are right for me. I do not want any more food.
Yeah.
Or right now I am ravenous and for this, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So, and then as we get older, controversial beliefs that were told in our lifetime, and also the damage done to our gut certainly loses that intuition. So, for example, with that also communication that's happening with us, the someone that has been having, you know, those high sugar diets, that does change the gut microbiome and does grow in particular pathogens, whether it be bacteria, yeast, parasites, etc. And they are 100% communicating with us to eat more sugar. So the intuition in that person is certainly not going to be correct. So it's not you making those decisions a lot of the time. And so I guess that's where the brain and the gut is quite confusing, because it's like, hang on, but the message is in my brain to eat it. But like, who's actually talking here? So sometimes it's not actually the person's fault. that's
happened. You've been possessed by a parasite, basically.
100%, yeah. They can manipulate your thinking, like to do a certain act, to speak a certain way, to feel a certain way, to even make you feel like you don't want to be in your own body so they live more easily. It's always so they live more easily, right?
Yeah.
And so whether that be, yeah, candida, of course, like, yes, certainly makes, you know, someone really crave that sugar. Like it's an out of body experience, as we would call it, which kind of is true. It kind of is an out of body experience where it's not actually you communicating that. Going back to the medication side of things too, like, you know, that Panadol, I think it's this knowing that actually this isn't what the body needs. And also, so yes, the virus wants to live more easily, but if there is a level of an immune system there, there's going, which is your gut, there is going to be communication of this isn't what we need right now. We need something else. And also I need to ride out this fever, or I need to build up a pain tolerance for not only pain itself, but life as well.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, this is this knowing of this doesn't feel right, and this is mother intuition, isn't it? Like you kind of just know. Does that kind of help?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like, you know, but then you haven't been taught to trust the knowing. We've been taught to trust the professional, give the power away to someone else, and there's a really fine line between like educating yourself on what you can actually do to support your child in that situation. And what's the line? Like, when is it necessary to escalate that? And it can be really tricky.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it all comes back to your own journey then of knowing yourself first.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why, like, I found it so troublesome with the can of worms that were open there, because it's like everyone's situation is going to be so different. Like, yeah. And also, what tools do you have on hand, whether you have any or not? And also, don't be freaking out and you know, like, not giving it to them, but absolutely having a panic attack about not giving it to them. Maybe you should, and just deal with the consequences then, like, whether you know this information or not. But it's just like, that's not going to make me stop saying something at all. Like, I think everyone should be empowered to, or have knowledge of this kind of stuff. I think when I learn these things, and the reason I guess I open up is because I literally have compassion for people that are unknowingly doing certain things that they think are right. And I, you know, if I can see a pattern in it, whether it be clients, friends, family, whatever, where it's like that child is not getting better, or like they're constantly sick or whatever, it's going, damn it, if only they knew. Yeah. And then it's like, well, I'm going to voice this. So if it tells one person, then that person tells another, and then et cetera, et cetera.
And you have a way of doing it that isn't, well, I don't find it, maybe because I'm on the side, one side of it, but I don't find it overly polarizing. I don't feel like you come at it aggressively and shame parents or people for making certain choices. I think you have a way of communicating that's very inclusive. And even throughout, you know, the pandemic and all of the stuff that's been going on, you've had a voice within that. Like, has that been challenging for you on a personal note? Because I know, you know, you're also a mum. You've also got a business that you're running. You've also got other stuff. You don't have to be a voice on this, but there's something within you that obviously feels like you want to share. You know, has that been... Has it been conflicting?
Yeah. Interesting you say that, because I think it reflects in different ways. And you never know, as in my emotions, because, and you never know the response you're going to get. Sometimes I will just say something and then it's like, oh, I didn't expect a response like that. I actually realize how controversial it was. Yeah, exactly. Well, like yesterday, for example, you know, just to be really open, and I was obviously, I'm tired sometimes because my child is not sleeping all the time, but maybe that was the aspect there, but I certainly felt a level of overwhelm yesterday. Mm. Yeah. And I think it was the being a parent that I want to be, being or the parent that I want to be, right? Mm. Like I literally just want to mother them and just be there for them. Mm. But then there's other things of this stupid voice of mine that talks too loudly sometimes and wanting to do that. Mm. But then also, you know, running the business. So it does certainly get overwhelming. So yesterday, after like really switch off, and not very good yet at these barriers that people need to put up, of, you know, just protecting my own energy with certain things. Like I'm getting better, but like I'm not that great at it just yet.
what are some things that you're trying to embody to be able to do that?
Certainly switching, like not looking at the phone, because the moment I pick that up, there's like 7 million questions. So yeah, like it's trying to not do that. But also when I'm with the boys, which is a constant practice, right, because I'm also trying to work and mother at the same time sometimes, is not looking at that whilst I'm with them. Yeah. And what really hit me, and I actually don't often struggle to sleep at all these days, like when I can, I like when Xander allows me to, which is my littlest one, I last night not only had work a lot in my head, but had Malachi's little voice going, "Mummy, put your phone down." Mm. And it hurt me so much because all I was doing at the time, it was like a beautiful sunset, and yeah, it was just stunning, and I wanted to get a photo. That's it. So beautiful. We found this community garden and it was just like, wow, this just feels like we're literally in a fairy tale. And yeah, I got my phone out to like take a photo and video. And I did end up getting some, but he goes, "Mummy, put your phone down." And I was like, holy shit.
Wow.
And then, so I just woke up in the night and I literally like had his little voice saying that to me. And I know that sounds so little and stupid to probably other people, but like,
no, I don't think it does at all. It's a reflection of how you want to show up as a parent. And I think it's for those of us that are working for ourselves and trying to create this lifestyle that we can be more home and present with our kids. There's that trade-off then of like, you're on your phone more and you're like, can you just play with F 2 seconds? Mom's got to send an email. And it's like, what's the better alternative really? So yeah. I get it. I feel you.
Yeah, right. It's that constant trying to find that balance. And yeah, we're always trying to find it. And, you know, my husband said, you know, that's why I actually really want to go camping. So you feel like you don't have to do those things. And, you know, we'll have no service and stuff like that. And then like, whilst that it sounds so dreamy and perfect right now, I'm like, but babe, we actually, like, I have to do certain
things. Someone's got to run the business.
And keep it going. So yeah, it's that constant balance, right? So eventually, like, we will certainly get to that point of, you know, definitely creating a bit more of a routine of, you know, yeah, we only definitely work when they are being looked after, so we can be that fully present person we want to be. I guess, you know, with this is knowing, you know, everything we do, the development of them is so important right now. And even just speaking to them about their digestion, I mean, yeah, like,
I think that's amazing. I'm going to take that into, we talked to, like, we've been doing EC with River since he was like 4 weeks old. So he's been like pooing on the potty since a little baby. And we have like potty parties, and I'm personally obsessed with poo. So he does a poo and like my partner makes a joke, like, mommy's got to inspect the poo. And I'm like, oh yeah, good. Cause I'll give him a new food or something. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. That clearly digested, or like, oh, that clearly did not. Yeah. And he froths it. He looks in the potty and he's like, oh, he's only 15 months. He doesn't quite have the vocab yet, but he's like, oh, look at that. Like, wow. And I just think, like, if we can get them excited about their poo, and I love that, like, then adding that extra layer of education, like, okay, so, you know, you ate a bunch of chippies last night and now look at your poo-poo. Like, there's a, I'm speaking like a mum, there's a correlation. I think that's just, I think that's great. Like, that education piece from a young age is so empowering for that next generation. And I think what's kind of interesting, and what I'm observing in like the health and wellness industry, is that we're taking a step back. Like, you know, forage has got liver in it. People are all about eating liver, and like bone broth has become like super on trend. And it's like, that's something like people have been doing for centuries. And yet it's now just starting, like, we're slowly starting to introduce that. And it's kind of this, you know, weird thing. Like, you know, I know personally when I share that I've made pate or I'm giving it to River or whatever, how much should you give him? Like, what's the recommended dose? And da da da. I'm like, like, as much as he wants to eat. Like, I mean, maybe he can overdose. I don't know. Is that possible? Like, yeah. I just go more like, well, I eat as much as, like, I feel like it's a really strong food and it's not something I'm going to eat a whole jar of. I get to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm done. And so, but it's so interesting to me that we don't question that. Like, say if you were eating a steak, like, well, how much steak should I eat? Or how much kale should I have? Like, it's, but where these old ancient foods are coming back through, and there's still this, like, I guess people are seeing them as medicine in that sense, but also, I don't know, I see it as like, it's also just food. Like, your body will tell you, like, is that a question you get asked all the time with forage? Like, how much is safe?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there's also that group of people that say it's just not safe, full stop.
Yeah.
And before anyone freaks out, of course it is. And it was, you know, attempted to be completely pulled down and withdrawn from selling all due to the silly, wrong, outdated belief system. Well, new dated and outdated. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
It's made up, you know, what year are we now? Like, vitamin A, I think it was like 30 years ago, and then now it's certainly outdated, of course. Yeah. So new data, but outdated, you know?
Because it was Pete Evans a few years ago that did some kind of bone broth thing and just got like absolutely roasted for it.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw something I said the other day, but it was like, with this, it actually really frustrates me, the exact amount of things people need to have and telling someone that they have to reach this certain amount, they have to have this certain thing, because everyone is so different, and it doesn't matter if you're the same age, you're a woman or a male or whatever, it's going, okay, no, let's eat the real things and choose how much of those things we would like. And this is why I hate labels. I hate labeling a diet. Like, I say that with obviously compassion, because again, people just don't really know. And sometimes a label of a diet, like say paleo, it can really help the description of someone's diet pretty quick, smart.
Yeah.
And that is helpful. But you never really want to limit yourself to this label, because, you know, then you feel this sense of guilt or shame for eating outside of that, despite your intuition being drawn to something else. You know what I mean? And so with veganism is that it creates this blockage where you can't do that. But your intuition is probably screaming out to have something else.
I can relate to that firsthand. I was vegetarian and then vegan for a number of years, and my body was like, give me meat. And I'm like, no, it's totally fine. Like, I'm so attached to this belief system that I'm actually ignoring my inner system, and caused way more damage to my gut because I was just eating inflammatory foods that I wasn't digesting. And then fast forward a few years, add a bit of bone broth in, like literally life-changing. But I was so rigid that I couldn't let go of that, which is, you know, in hindsight, I can look back on it and go, oh God, I wish I had have let go of that years ago. But so I can really empathize. Yeah. Like, I understand why people are like, no, this is what I know. This is my belief system. For me, it was a very spiritual thing. But now I see it and go, I'm actually thriving because I added in these foods that I listened to myself. I stopped ignoring what I know.
Exactly. And what comes from, like, what that belief system also can come from is we're so disconnected with, you know, animal. And because we only see the animal as an animal and we're like as pets, basically. And because we've lost touch with that hunter side, where we have to be in situations where we had to face those sorts of things. And it was life. And it is out there for every other species on the planet except humans. Yeah. So we have so much relearning to do. And that's why I always talk about, like, using Paleolithic times or hunter-gatherer communities that are still there as your inspiration, because they have been doing that for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and we have been doing what we are doing today really, like, for not long at all. And especially in Australia, like, so young, we're learning all these things that, yeah, like, other cultures, for example, like Japan, just do naturally. They have their bone broth. They have their ferments. They eat liver. They embrace the whole animal. They ferment certain foods because they know it's going to be more or only can be eaten in that way, like soy. So they know that we have to ferment that in order for our body to utilize it properly. Yeah, it's like, use those sorts of things as inspiration. But going back to, like, with foraged, so the reason why there is that, or reason why certain people wanted to make it out as a terrible toxic food, and people still think this, honestly, today, despite it being so wrong. Like, if you actually want to talk about facts, and even among their belief system, you're still wrong. Like, it's just like
there's, what are you backing this up with? You know, it's like, I always think that with people, like, where is this coming from? Their research is there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just bonkers. But so it's due to the liver and the vitamin A content. So liver is a really awesome dose of vitamin A. And so, based off a study that was so flawed, where they were serving pregnant women synthetic vitamin A at whopping doses of 10,000 IU, it was, you know, they saw a small amount of birth defects with this whopping dose of synthetic vitamin A. And one flaw of that, which I'm pretty sure is noragogoudus, think, or Lily Nichols, she's a dietitian. Nora Grigatis is a nutritionist. She one of them really debunked it really well in saying that even with the number of people in the study, the amount of birth defects were also, despite everything, were also kind of normal. So but the other level of this is that 10,000 IU of vitamin A is a lot to give anyone, but it being synthetic is the other thing. So we can't actually metabolize it properly. It's not even real vitamin A. So then they decided, therefore, that the vitamin A rich food only, being liver cannot be had full stop.
Right.
So that's where it came from. And it's just so ridiculous, right? So despite all that, though, you know, there's been a lot of, I'm going to say, dietitians online that say that forage for you is toxic due to the vitamin A content. It's like I've contacted these people with no response, saying, look, if you want to think that way, maybe you could have actually checked the vitamin A content, because you can have it at least 10 times a day and still not be at the amount of 10,000 IU.
Yeah.
Like
what you're saying is not actually even true. It's not the right numbers.
Yeah. And so, and they also have this, you know, this talk of like, yeah, don't give it to your children. And it's like, well, you, that means you cannot give your children food.
Yeah. Because it's so, when you say it like that, it's like, duh. Like it's just so.
Yeah.
It's wild.
So I guess the only thing, and, you know, obviously there still needs to be research around this, but because like higher amounts are great in some research, but the only nutrient that I have been extra cautious of women not having too much, because also they're sometimes supplementing with it on top, is iodine. Yeah, iodine, we need it, and we need it so much that back in, I think, 1990-ish, they started actually like putting potassium iodide in salt and our bread because we're all so deficient.
Yeah.
But then, guys, don't go have kelp because it's got iodine in it. Like, mates. Like
the common theme that's playing out here is the synthetic addition of stuff, maybe not so great. The natural source, much better option.
Yeah, but also we need more research around the more things, but like, and which there is, of course, but like very little, you know, because the synthetics are what is more researched, isn't it? But yes, what we do know is that a nutrient in its food form, like nature has perfectly packaged things with the other nutrients in order for the nutrient to be not only safer but better used and more effective. So what's really I'm learning more and more even about forage as we go forward because as you would have seen possibly, the results are just like wow, you know, like so cool. And more than what I expected, because I was having all of these things individually beforehand. So for the average woman to be introduced to foods like this, it's like, then they're like, see it from a fresh start. And it's like, so cool, but there has to be more to it, you know? But for example, iron, you know, women try, you know, intravenous, they try supplements, and their iron just is not budging, but then they try foraged, which technically is such a lower amount of iron than what a synthetic supplement would have, but their iron levels are being shot up, which is, you know, to a level that's great for them. And, you know, to have an example of why it can have, or food can be a better form, is because we know that iron and copper work together. That's in liver. But copper as well. We know that vitamin A is also important with lifting iron levels. We also know, but this is obviously not just in liver, but fermented food. So particularly, you know, my blend, like it's got the fermented food in there, you know, a probiotic in there helps lift the iron levels.
Yeah.
So it's so synergistic, and that's what synergy of nutrients means. Like I often say, like, you know, the synergy of nutrients is so mind-blowing and powerful, and often we can't comprehend it, especially in this medical model thinking world we have and we've been conditioned to think about. It's very hard to go, but that number is that, this number is this, it's smaller, of course it's not going to have the same impact as the bigger number.
Yeah.
We're so fixated on these numbers, aren't we? And that comes like across towards like calorie counting and stuff, like this is that and that will equal that, but it's like so not like that. Like,
well, it's easier to put people into a box, right? Like if I can calculate it, it's easier to control, but control's a total illusion.
Exactly. Yeah. Like if you're making a table, yes, measurements are pretty important. But if you like a physical
it's relevant.
Table,
yeah. Like if you're a builder, maybe you should use a measuring device.
Don't go just by inches. But when it comes to the human body and microbes and where there's so much involved, and we can't outsmart the natural source. And the other example is, you know, what I like to think of back in the day, we wouldn't go past a big vitamin C tree and go like, oh, cool, let's just eat vitamin C. No, we eat like the bioflavonoids that come with it. Yep. And we eat the other nutrients that are in there to ensure it actually can do its job.
We weren't isolating the bits of the orange, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
The whole thing.
And I don't want to, though, disregard synthetics because they certainly have their place. Like, I want to make that really clear. My main aim and, I guess, philosophy or belief was that, okay, if we are going to have synthetics, let's at least make sure that we're having it from the natural food source as well, you know, and also have the best form of that nutrient that we know of. So
how does that play out, right? So I'm particularly concerned about like the depletion of the soil and, you know, the pesticides and like the shitstorm that is our current farming practices, not everywhere, but in most places. Like even organic doesn't necessarily hold up to what we picture an organic farm to be. Like they still can use a certain amount of pesticides and things like that. So with the theory of like food is medicine, is that where things like either synthetic or other supplements have to work together because we don't have the option?
100%. You just work with the tools that you've currently got, right? And also by what your personal body needs. So because your nutrient levels, again, whilst we might be a similar age and makeup or whatever, it doesn't mean that your nutrient levels are the same as mine. And this is the thing, this is the wrong thinking out there, right? Is that this one thing is going to be perfect for all. So that's when we can individualize things based on our symptoms, but also based on nutrient testing. And that's when, you know, someone might require, yes, more magnesium because there's so little sources of more magnesium, of magnesium, for example, but other minerals that, our soils are depleted in. But iodine is actually one of those things too. Like our soils basically have no iodine. And that's where a problem started to come from too, in our own sources of things like oysters and kelp, and that's almost it. And sea.
Not a lot of options.
So yeah, we are super, super deficient. And I guess that's when things can be helpful. But yeah, like your gut microbes, what is living in there also determines your nutrient levels. Because for example, and your genes. So that's so much. So we can give it what we think and what we need and like eat real food and stuff. But if we're not catering it to ourselves, then yeah, you still might be deficient in certain things. So for example, if someone has a parasite that's eating all their iron, you know, there's some people that are like, why would I be having foraged and I can't, and my iron's still low? And it's like, well, firstly, what other things are you eating? But really, what's your gut like? Because, you know, if this has been a big thing for many years, you know, what do you have a parasite in there that's gobbling up your iron? So there's so many things, but also even just like mercury, sorry, I was going to say heavy metals.
That's a whole other world.
But yeah, heavy metals, like by us having something like that or microbes that are overgrown, we're utilizing more nutrients. So let's talk about like
there's so many factors.
Exactly. You're using more zinc to fight those things off and support your immune system, support your gut integrity. So, and vitamin D, we're utilizing more of that. So we do need to sometimes support ourselves a bit more. you know, we might have a stressful day and then all of a sudden we're rock bottom with vitamin C because our adrenals required heaps of vitamin C in order to exert that stress or get us through the night or day, whatever it might be. So the next day, yes, you might need a little bit more or going forward. So it's never, it's just not listening to this blanket approach of this is that or this, you know, just again, coming back to that intuition and your personalized needs. But obviously with someone that's starting like from knowing absolutely nothing, like how would you like me to support someone like that? Like if you've got any specific questions, I don't know how we're going for time, but
we're almost out of time. But like, I think what you're kind of highlighting here as well is the importance of actually finding someone that you resonate with to work with and support you on your health journey. Unless you're like a total nerd that spends all this time researching and, you know, kind of can understand and analyze that, I think it's so important to have, you know, to be able to have someone that can read a blood test and give you some feedback on, you know, for me, that was game changing of working with different practitioners and within different modalities like naturopaths and Chinese medicine doctors and getting a holistic approach of from different people and their different schools of thought of to what really resonates with me. Like I know for myself now, if I feel that something's out of balance, I go straight to my Chinese medicine guy and I know that his herbs and acupuncture are going to get that like whatever it is, like get it to a point where it's rectified. And then I can work on the underlying issue. Like if I know it's a deficiency or if I know it's a gut thing or whatever, I can use the herbs to get me back to a place of kind of homeostasis-ish and then work on the underlying issue that's going on there, whether it's emotional or physical or whatever. And so, yeah, I think for anyone who's listening to this, it's like far out, like where the hell do I start? It's like find someone to support you within that because it's a total wormhole once you open it up and it can be really, really confusing. And I think you find someone that you resonate with and that can take time, but find someone that you resonate with to kind of hold your hand a little bit on that journey. And then I think that kind of gets you to a point where you feel confident being like, okay, cool. I'm going to start exploring these things and trusting my inner knowing a little bit more because someone's helped me see what I need.
Yeah. And I think it's also just opening your eyes, like going, okay, well, maybe I can think differently. It's okay to think differently and question things. But I guess also, you know, just for someone to continue on their day, maybe with just a little bit more thinking, you know, because I think it's important that they know, okay, so maybe the classic foods to try and avoid that are in everything. So definitely the pattern with the foods that we should avoid is the same thing. They've been modified by us in some way in the last 70 or so years. And we're also not preparing them correctly. So not only are they genetically completely different and our bodies get a bit freaked out at that, they are also, not being prepared correctly. And that goes the same with wheat and gluten or wheat and or gluten, mostly wheat because that's the one that's chemically hybridized big time. You know, that's meant to be had in the form of sourdough and fermentation. And then we've got corn, same thing, genetically modified. But also it should be nixtamalized corn, which is corn soaked in limestone water, which was done for thousands of years. But then we thought we were smarter again. So that created a fermentation process and that created, you know, a food that we could actually digest. And then soy, same thing. That's also been genetically modified, but also it should be fermented before consumption to help support us digest it, support our hormones, etc. Like think about the differences between soy milk and like something like natto, which is a traditional Japanese food, fermented soy, but also just soy sauce and tempeh.
So would your advice be for people to kind of look back on these foods in terms of like how were they intended to be prepared and then how are they now? Because when you're walking through a supermarket, like I always say to people, marketing will kill you. Like you can see something that says fermented or this or that, but it might not actually be truly fermented or, you know, there's no mother left in the bottom of the apple cider vinegar or whatever. Like it can be a bit of a minefield for people to navigate like what is actual real food.
Yeah. Well, I guess start out by avoiding those things just altogether. Just don't even, until you know better, just avoid gluten, soy, corn and vegetable oils, but also things that are numbers, like you know, product and it's got flavors, and even if it says natural flavors, like numbers and stuff like that, just avoid it. And you know, look to different recipes, but knowing that it doesn't mean by avoiding those things that you are deprived. So there should be no level of deprivation in this process. Like you can still eat delicious things. It's just the better forms of those foods or other things made yummy.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. And I mean, if you want to check out Sharon's website, oh my gosh, some of your recipes are so good and so simple. Like, I think the reason why I love them is because it's like, put all this stuff in a blender. Oh yeah, great. Like, that's really achievable when you're cooking with one arm.
Totally. I know. You know, if something like calls me to like, you got to sear this before you eat in the slow cooker, I'm like, well, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put it in the slow
cooker. And hope for the best. It's like the difference between my partner and I cooking. He's like a proper chef. Like, he'll sear it. It takes forever. Whereas, yeah, I'm like, how can I make this nutrient dense by chucking everything in and like putting the lid on?
Yeah. I mean, like, great. You've got a partner like that.
Great. His meals are amazing. But just a different approach. Well, I could literally talk to you forever and just, I hate that phrase, pick your brains, but look inside of the knowledge that you have. It's so amazing. For anyone who hasn't heard of Foraged, I'll pop all the links and things in the show notes. It's truly an amazing, do you even call it a supplement? Like, what category does it fit into?
Yeah, I know, it's a bit confusing, isn't it?
A whole food supplement, like
yeah
a food that you could eat.
Yeah, food that you can incorporate into your journey in whatever stage.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, it's funny, it's like, what category is that? But it truly is amazing. I mean, I took it throughout pregnancy and postpartum. I still, when I can get my hands on it, love it now. So yeah, it's definitely not an ad. This is a very genuine testimony that it is amazing, and the bioavailability of the ingredients, the way you've blended it, is like genius. So well done to you. Thank you for sharing your brains with the world. So
I'll support through this time too, you know, like that you actually took it through those.
Yeah, it's special. Well, you know, like what you were saying is, we're conditioned to think the synthetic road. And I, even at the beginning of my pregnancy, I was like, shit, should I be supplementing with all these different things? And it can get really overwhelming. So it's great to know that there's actually products out there that have that in mind of like nourishing people through specific areas of life and, you know, rites of passage. Or everyone should be taking it, but anyway, but the, you know, that are doing it from a whole food perspective, and that the ingredients are clean and they're coming from great sources. And I know that that's been one of your biggest pain points in business, is like, we really want the ingredients to be good. We're not just going to like give you guys crap because it's more available. So yeah. So what's kind of next for you guys? Have you got more products coming? Are you just trying to like get enough forage for the people that need it? Where are you heading?
That has been the biggest thing, and we've almost ticked that off. I mean, like, it's a forever journey because obviously it depends on the actual ingredients. But that I just passed to my husband now, which is really great. Now that we're almost on top of that, it's going, okay, cool. Like, what does that mean? I can do my first ad ever in my life? Yeah. Like do something to do with marketing. Start to just look at ways going beyond just my own audience and word of mouth.
Yeah.
And going, okay, how else can we get this out there? Because like it's amazing. So like, let's get it out to more people. Hopefully just like getting into actually more stockists. I don't know if that is the right thing to do, but you know, might do that. But also looking at the children avenue. So creating thing that's more specific for children, because they love foraged and they can have it, but it's just the most common question of how much can I give my child, or how can I give it to my child, stuff like that. So I definitely want to do that, but it's just also waiting on the ingredient that I need, which I've, you know, it's so wild, and I'm like, no, I need this ingredient, like that is the one.
And I see people getting irate online, like, why can't I get this product? I'm like, you don't understand like how hard this whole process is. I can only imagine what these guys are going through right now.
Well, for example, and I won't say the ingredient, but the one that I want in the children's blend, like I've been told it's such high demand, or like this world shortages type things,
right?
That it's like 16 weeks, which is like what? Like that, what, by the time you order it, it takes 16 weeks.
Wow.
So we're just trying to, yeah, that's so long.
A lot of logistics.
I know. So yeah, anyway, that's one thing. And then also, of course, making it more specified to men as well eventually.
Beautiful.
So hopefully that will, you know, happen. And it's funny that you asked, because like this morning I wrote on a little list when I have a moment to myself, I was like, I really actually would love to hold like just a foraged retreat or something like that, like where it's like, yeah, really about not only just the mums, but just people, of course,
yeah,
but just really nourishing them. And
I think that would sell out in an instant.
You reckon? That's yeah. So nice.
Yeah. You've got a cult following. There's like people that are hardcore foragers.
Oh, and I guess like knowing that COVID is like a little bit like slightly behind us kind of is a good thing too, you know, being able to do things more like
in person. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what would be your number one piece of health advice? I know that's a very like general statement, but for someone that's kind of like, okay, I really want to start taking charge of my health. I want to stop putting my head in the sand and just believing what I've been told. Like, what's your advice for them?
Mm-hmm. First, question everything, absolutely everything, even myself. Second, create non-negotiables. So non-negotiables, I mean by, it sounds extreme, but we often need non-negotiables in order to actually execute something. Because right now someone listening might be like, inspired, or like, you know, cool, I'm gonna do that, but like, are you really?
Yeah.
And how long for? Like, is this gonna be a day thing and then you're gonna forget about it? The best way to actually get results is create some non-negotiables for yourself, and that non-negotiable might be doing something or not doing something.
So
for example, it might be taking foraged every day. It might be not having sugar, you know, like, and you just have to do it. You just have to bite the bullet and do it, because you know, if you dabble in, double out, and not making, you don't make it a non-negotiable, it's just going to come back into your life and you'll find yourself in the same position in 5 years. Whereas consistency is key, right? So I think non-negotiable. So for example, for me, in not doing something is, like, I don't have gluten. I don't have, I can tolerate a little bit more dairy these days. But, you know, back in the day, for me, it's fresh start, terrible gut, blah, 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 was gluten, sugar, dairy, for example. Yeah. And, you know, non-negotiable of doing something is like sunshine, taking, having like a, what a consciously nourishing meal. You know, might be once a day because you're crazy mum that's got a business. just getting that consciously nourishing meal where you're like, got my good fats, good protein, herbs on top, lots of greens, you know, where you can have that consciously nourishing meal rather than just like never nourishing yourself.
Shoving your kids' scraps into your mouth off the floor.
And then having a block of chocolate at nighttime, or or a bottle of wine or whatever it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Totally. And bringing that like mindfulness into it of, look, your food groups, but also being with that as like, it is deeply nourishing. And there's an energy exchange that happens when we eat in that way of like, I have brought and prepared this food for myself that I know is nourishing me on so many levels. It's actually really beautiful practice.
Yeah.
I love that. Thanks for that. Thanks for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge. Like I said, I could literally sit here and talk to you all day. But we're both mums, so like, I don't know about you, but my boobs are leaking.
Mine actually are, but I fed him not long ago, so
I was like, it's nap time for my babe. So thank you so much. I'll put all your details in the show notes for anyone that wants to connect with you, and have a beautiful day. I'll hopefully speak with you soon.
Will do. Thank you so much for letting me be here and inviting me.
Of course. Thanks for coming. See you, honey.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you so much for lending me your ears today. I really hope that you got something out of today's episode. I know I did. It blows my mind to think that parasites can literally influence our brain and their behavior. It blows my mind. So big love to Sheridan for sharing all of her incredible knowledge. I will share in the show notes the links to forage and any other details that we mentioned in today's episode. If you love today's episode, please take 2 minutes out of your time to leave me a review and a 5-star rating. It really helps me to reach more people. And of course, share this with anyone and everyone that you think would benefit from this incredible episode and the really rich and insightful knowledge that Sheridan shares. I'm so excited to be back for season 2, and I look forward to seeing you all next week.